Brendan. Good morning, everyone. Everybody doing well? Say that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, there you go. We're gonna recognize the birthdays and anniversaries as we do every month and the first of every month. And we have the birthday list for August. And Christine Sasser, August the 1st. Austin Hartzell, August the 3rd. Amy Whitley, August the 6th. Charlie Snyder, August the 10th. And we sang happy birthday this morning, didn't we, Charlie? To you this morning, didn't we, Charlie? Sang it like Porky Pig, and she'd never heard of that before. And she sat there and said, "What is this man trying to do?" Chris Whitley, August the 11th. Chris. Cynthia Yao, August the 19th. Tony Eford, August the 20th. Brother Tony, there you are, brother. Gail Perkins, August the 21st. Hey, Gail. You don't look a day over 20. There's nothing wrong. That's right. Margie Edwards, August the 22nd. And Janice Williams. Back there you are at the 28th, Janice. And you don't look a day over 30 yourself. You really don't. Bless your heart. And so I'm saying that because we're not too far from the same age. So I'm saying how young you look. That's the truth. But have I missed anyone this morning? Anyone at all? All right, I'll sing happy birthday. We'll sing happy birthday. I'll do it right this time, Charlie. Okay, go ahead. Keep.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And our anniversaries are Jeanette and McCord Barbie, August the 2nd. How many years there, McCord?
56.
56? Wow, that's wonderful. All right, thank you very much, Brother Jim.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Barbie's Grove Baptist Church. I appreciate the opportunity that Brother Ed has given me in his absence to preach the word. But welcome to those of you that are visiting with us. We are glad that you are here. And I'm just going to tell you right out, we're going to treat you so many different ways, you're going to have to like one of them.
Fair enough?
That's fair enough. Yeah. Okay. So, but we appreciate each of you, those that are listening by radio, out in the parking lot. You know, our doors are open. You can come in, but we're glad you're listening. Those who will be listening on the internet, well, we praise the Lord that you've tuned in. If you're not able to get out and to come and join us in worship, then worship with us on the internet. Okay, and we appreciate you all. So let us open with a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we're so thankful for allowing us to gather today in your name to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we just thank you for this opportunity of being in your house today. We ask you, Father, to anoint us with your spirit, to let your spirit flow freely among us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you, Brother Jim. As we do every Sunday, we're going to have our hymn sing. We sing the hymn right out of the hymnal, but we'll have it on the board for you. It says, "I will sing the wondrous story." And we've got 5 short verses to sing. Let's all stand and sing together. The words are on the board.
Christ who died for me, how he left
Thank you. Remain standing for prayer, please. Be seated. Let's all stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and
welcome someone this morning, please. Well, good morning to you all again. And I have some announcements I'd like to go over with you at this time, if I may. Just a few. Today at 11, we have our church council meeting. So you new council members, let's meet. What we'll need to do is meet on this Sunday school room here next, right after you go by the office. So that room right there will be fine. So council meeting at 11, okay? Miss Rosina has asked me to be sure to remind you, the wing members, that you have a meeting Wednesday at 10 a.m. and you need to be here to work on the project that you all are working on. And I'm sure you know what that project is. So please be here for that. So that's Wednesday. A homecoming will be September the 7th, and save that date and be ready to come. We'll have a wonderful time together. The Towers Quartet will be here singing for that meeting as well. And then we have a call conference. A call conference will be on August the 17th. Now, we have a couple handouts down front for you that I want you to pick up as you leave today. And first will be the deacons list for the eligible deacons here at the church. We will start our deacon process, and so if your name is on this list and you do not want us to vote on you that Sunday on the 17th, please let me know so we can take it, or Jeanette, then we'll take it off, okay? So these are eligible deacons right now that's on this list, so pick one up, guys. And let us know what you want, and we'll know what to do from there. Then after that, we have also a list of the officers and teachers for the ensuing year, coming year. And these are as a result of the work of the nominating committee, who just finished their work. And, I got a lot of thanks for everybody. And all of you who agreed to take your jobs again, thank you so much, because about 99% of you did. And that's a fact. And so, but anyway, just in case that you are on this list and you're not really sure that's what you agreed to do, please take a look at this list, okay? Because we're going to vote on it on the 17th. And so that by the 10th, also by the deacon's list, also you'll need to have your name, if you don't want it on there, by the 10th, and let us know, okay? Did I do that right there? Okay, ladies, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so be sure to do that. Pick that up and let's do that. Call conference It will be on the 17th. And also the call conference will be a part of it. Will be the Building Grounds Committee will also be asking you an update on the window project. So those three things on the 17th, okay? Golden Agers. Golden Agers will have a meeting Thursday, and it's ice cream social. Right, Brenda?
That's right.
Everybody come to church. We're going to be here at 1 p.m. on August the 7th. And go by Food Line or somewhere that you get your favorite kind of ice cream and bring it. And if you want to bring a donut, as long as it's Krispy Kreme, it'll be all right. No. But bring your ice cream, your favorite kind, and come and be with us. Now, look, you don't have to be a Golden Ager to come, right, Brenda?
That's right.
Anybody that wants to come, you're a member of this church or not even a member, even better if you're not a member, come and be with us. And we'd love to have you for that on August the 7th. Come, we'll enjoy our ice cream together. Now, have I missed any announcements at all, anywhere? Okay. Then let's go to our prayer request this morning. I talked to Pastor Ed. He arrived safely, and everything's fine in Oklahoma. But he did ask us to remember his son-in-law's dad, Brian's dad. He was placed in the hospital right after they got there, as a matter of fact. He's got some type of internal blockage, and so they're having special care with him. So let's remember Pastor Ed, not only his traveling mercy, but let's remember Pastor Ed's son-in-law as well as he's in the hospital. Let's keep on remembering Jeff Kay. Jeff Kay's in a cast up there, and I heard him, and he came having to walk with a cane, but a lot of people wouldn't even be here, but you are. Thank God for you, brother. Just pray for Brother Jeff. Yeah. And then we have to remember Janice and Bobby's daughter-in-law, Kim. And Janice, if you would, please, you want to say a few words about that?
Okay. I know a lot of you don't know our son's Shane. His wife had cancer. And she had cancer about, I guess, 6 years ago. And she had cancer.
He's able. God is certainly able, Jim. Okay. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Oh, how, Lord, without your grace, we couldn't be here, not any of us. And, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your salvation. And, Lord, we thank you for these people who are with us today, these friends, these members of Barber's Grove and those that aren't, still prioritize their time this morning, Lord, to be here and to be here and worship you. Lord, that's what we're here about. Help us, Lord, to remember, Lord, it's about worshiping you. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings. Thank you for loving us before we ever loved you back. And Lord, now we ask, Lord, that we go forward in our service today. We pray a special blessing upon Brother Jim as he comes for us, Lord, and preaches the sermon to us today. Lord, we ask, Lord, that we can apply it to our hearts and our lives and listen to the word of the Lord as it's preached today. But then, Lord, there are those, Lord, who've been mentioned today, Lord, and we want to be specific, Lord, to you as we bring our petitions to you. Lord, I think you've asked us to do that. And Lord, as we pray today, we would pray, Lord, for Pastor Ed's son-in-law's dad. We lift up Brian's dad to you this morning as he's in the hospital in Oklahoma. We know, Lord, that you're able, and we ask for healing for his body. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff Kay. We ask to continue to bless him, strengthen that leg, Lord, that he may be back in full degree of health. So very, very soon we pray for him. And then, Lord, we lift up Kim, Lord, Janice's daughter-in-law. Lord, with cancer, Lord, we know, Lord, and we ask, Lord, for healing for her body. Lord, you're the great physician, Lord, and we know that you're able. You're the great Yahweh, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would heal her body, we pray. We lift up Pastor Ed to you today, Lord, as he's traveling. We'll be traveling back home soon. We ask for traveling mercy to him. And then, Lord, as we go forward to next week, we pray, Lord, that you be with us. And that it will be your precious, precious will that you'll bring us back again to the next appointed hour. And these blessings I pray in your name. And all the people said, amen. We got a song that, as a, and I picked it out of the hymnal, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I think that's a beautiful song. If you'll listen to these words, I think it'll touch your heart. Because it's a prayer, but it's a song. But I want you to listen. And as we sing together, as we stand, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And then it, nope. Oh, okay. That one works too. Take Time to Be Holy. We better do that one since it's on the board. I like both of them, and I didn't write the other one down. Hey, that's right, Jeff. You got the right one. I got the wrong one. Okay. Take Time to Be Holy, and we're going to take time to sing it too, because it's a beautiful song. And listen, God expects us to be holy. And just be holy. Listen as we take time to be holy. Sing together. Thank you. Children, you are dismissed.
Thank you.
So good to see a lot of young ones in here, isn't it? Amen. You know, somebody once told me that they wished that that parents would keep their children quiet. And I looked at them and I said, I'm glad for the noise. Isn't that the truth? How many of you brought your Bibles with you today? Well, praise the Lord. For those of you that didn't, shame on you. I could have any book up here, throw in a few these and thous, and you'd think it was the King James Version of the Bible. But there is a Bible in the pew in front of you. If you'll just take that out and follow along, you'll know what's being said is the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Esther, chapter 4. Esther, chapter 4. And now, I preached this sermon in the mountains not long ago. And Janice told me the other day, she says, because I told her, she says, I'm really having trouble finding a sermon, getting a sermon together. And she said, well, why don't you preach that one? I said, well, I'll pray about it. And I prayed and I prayed and I struggled. And the Lord finally said, yep, do it. And so this is what I'm going to be preaching. So Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, reading through and including verse 17. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Gracious Father in heaven, we ask that you will take this message and use it for your glory. We thank you for the words that we have read. We pray, Father, that you will bless this word, for you promised us that your word would not return unto you void. And as we open this word, Father, guide us into the truths of your word. Help us to apply these truths to our lives that we may bring honor and glory to you, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Ahasuerus had a feast, and he invited all of his rulers of his kingdom to come and to join him in this feast. And so scripture says when they had a bit of wine, he wanted to show off his queen. Now, you know, a lot of men will say, let me show you my trophy wife. Well, he was saying basically, let me show you my trophy queen. Let me show you my trophy queen. So he sent for Vashanti. And what happened? She said, not going to happen. I'm not coming. That's all there is to it. So just forget it. I'm not coming. Okay? And that's what basically what she said. That's Hopkins' paraphrase, okay? And so she refused his, and his guest told him that he needed to do something about it. She said, because if you don't, our wives are going to do the same thing, and we don't want that happening. You know, back then, the men ruled with an iron fist, right? Yeah, right. Not like today, huh? We rule with an iron fist, and that iron fist is my wife's. The thing is, you see, is that they said you got to do something about it because it's not just our wives, but the men throughout this kingdom are going to have the same thing happen to them. So what did he do? He said, all right, Vashanti, you're not coming. You're not queen anymore. I'm going to replace you. I'm going to replace you from being queen. In fact, I'm going to replace you in such a way, I'm going to remove you in such a way that I'm going to put you in a tower where you'll never see anybody else again, and you'll have, the only people that you'll see is those that bring you your food and water. She might have said, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, But you see, that was what happened to her. And so he replaced her and he put Esther in as queen. Now, as we look at this chapter here, we see that all of this had taken place and that Mordecai decided that, hey, you know what? I'm going to bring Esther. Esther was his niece. All right? So he took Esther and because they said, let's gather all of the maidens. And back then, a maiden was a virgin. They said, let's bring all of the maidens in and let's let the king pick which one he wants. And so Mordecai said, okay, Esther, I want you to go, but I don't want you to tell anybody you're a Jew. Don't want you to tell anybody that you are a Hebrew because they may not like that. So they went in and Esther was appointed. I'm shortening this a lot, okay? Esther was appointed queen. Haman was one of the king's high people, didn't like Mordecai. Now, Mordecai had heard a plot to kill the king. So he told Esther, the queen, and Esther passed it on to the king, and the plot was foiled. And now those that were involved were put to death. Okay? So, Haman didn't like Mordecai, mainly because Mordecai didn't bow down to him, didn't, quote, unquote, give him the respect that he thought he deserved. You ever known people like that? They didn't like you because you didn't give them the respect that they thought they deserved? So, the rest of the Jews and Mordecai, Haman sought to destroy him. All of these Jews, because they're gonna cause you nothing but trouble. That's how much he disliked Mordecai. So let's just kill them all. Y'all probably all seen the shirt or heard the saying that said, kill them all and let God sort them out. Well, that was basically what Haman was saying about Mordecai and the Jews. Okay? However, and there's six words in this phrase, or six words in this phrase of verse 14 that I want us to look at today. Now, it doesn't mean I got 6 points, okay? But it says, for such a time as this, Esther was made queen. But for such a time as this, as what? Well, the decree had been made to kill off all the Jews. Now, I want you to remember that Mordecai had helped to defuse this plot against the king. Okay? And so Queen Esther came in and she said, O king, what did you do for the one that prevented your assassination? So, well, I don't know. So they looked it up and said, well, nothing was done. So Haman happened to be there. He said, Haman, what would you do for one that finds favor in the eyes of the king? And Haman thought, he's talking about me. He said, well, I'd put one of your robes on him, and I'd put him on your royal horse, and I would have someone lead him through the town and giving praise and shouting out praise for what he had done. Haman thought it was him. So the king says, that's a good idea. He said, I want you to find Mordecai, and I want you to give him this robe, and I want you to put him on this horse, and I want you, Haman, to lead him through. Now, isn't that irony? But you see, the thing is, there was still this decree.
And so for such a time as this, Esther was made queen. We'll get back to Haman here shortly. Okay? My first point is, for such a time as this, we are called. Esther was called to be queen. And now think about that a moment, folks, because you and I are called. We are called of God. We are called to repentance. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now this was John the Baptist walking around in the wilderness, and he comes out of the wilderness and he says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He went around all through the area, all through the country, preaching that same message. Folks, the message is still the same today. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For such a time as this, we are called to repentance. We are called to proclaim that repentance. We are called to repent of our sin, to let God take control of our lives. But we are also called to leadership. Look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. "Then they called him Abram. He was called out. God said to Abram, I want you to rise up. I want you to take all that you have, all of your family, all of your belongings, all of your people, and I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you to go. I want you to take that place of leadership." And what did Abraham say? He said, "Well, God, where are you going to lead me? Where do you want me to take them?" God said, I'll show you. Don't we want to know where we're going before we start out? But what if God said, "I want you to go," and we said, "Well, where to?" And he said, "Don't worry about it, I'll show you." Would we step out on faith? Abraham did. He stepped out on faith. He didn't say anything. He didn't question God. He just said, "Okay, Lord." The Bible says that he stepped out and took that leadership position. Folks, you and I are called to be leaders today. We are to lead the lost to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are to lead this church in spiritual and physical growth. We are to lead this county to the lost, that they come to know Jesus Christ. We are to lead them to that saving knowledge. We are to lead this state in the place of that people can know who Jesus is. Years ago, we were visiting my oldest brother, and he had asked his children, his grandchildren, he said, "What's Christmas about?" And they said, "Oh, it's about presents and getting things." And my brother looked at his wife, her name was Kathy, and he says, "Kathy," he said, "you got to take these kids to church." And she looked at him and said, "No, we got to take these kids to church." You see, folks, that's how we got to be, is we got to be that kind of leadership. To take our families, to lead our families into the house of God. To lead our families to the cross of Calvary. To lead the people that we love and care for into the saving knowledge of Jesus, and yes, even our enemies. We are to lead them. We are to be that leader. Moses was a leader as well in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. He met God at a burning bush. And God told him to go tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And of course, we all know the excuses Moses made. "I can't talk." He said, "Don't worry about it. I'll be your voice." But God is the one who speaks through in us and through us when we let him. We need to let him, amen? We need to let God do what he needs to do in our lives. in Exodus 3 and in verse 10, he says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you to those who are in leadership positions who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we know within our politics today in this country that we need godly people in leadership. And we have a lot who are not. So we need to lead them to that saving knowledge of Jesus so they can become godly. Amen? We need to pray for them. Whether we like them or not, we need to pray for them. Gideon was also a leader in Judges chapter 6 and verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee?" Go, he said. Be that leader. Step up to the plate. Be the one that God wants you to be, to bless the people. Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19 was called of God to be that leader. When the mantle fell upon him. Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8, when God asked the question, "Who will go for us? And whom shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Too many times we want to say, "Here am I, Lord. Send Leonard." When we need to step up to the plate, folks. We need to take that place of leadership. Paul was a leader in Acts chapter 26 and verse 16. But even through all of these people that I have mentioned, the call to repentance and the call to leadership, we are also called to salvation. And we are to call others to salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved?" You see, it is God that wants all men to be saved. There are those in our Baptist denomination that we call Calvinists who say that there's only a select few who are going to be saved and going to be into heaven. But I'm telling you, this scripture here says that who will have all men to be saved. Not a portion, all men to be saved. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to lead them to that saving knowledge of Jesus. He wants all men to come to repentance. All men to come to salvation. And all of us to become leaders. Secondly, for such a time as this, we have been preparing. We've been preparing. Look at Esther. He brought her before the king, and she was chosen as queen. She found favor in the king's sight. And back then, if you walked in before the king and he didn't lay his scepter down and point it toward you, you didn't get to see the king. If you tried to see the king, you'd be put to death. She found such favor that when she walked by and wanted to see the king, she'd stand there and he would point that scepter toward her because he wanted to hear what she had to say. She'd been prepared. Prepared for that work. Now, some of you here today have been here at Barbers Grove Baptist Church from the time that you were born until the present time. Some of you have been here over 80 years. Some of you have been less. You have been prepared. Prepared for such a time as this. Folks, we're living in a world today that needs to hear the gospel ministry, and we have been prepared. And how are we prepared? We're prepared by attending Sunday school and hearing the word taught. I'm a stickler about Sunday school, folks. I really am. Because I believe that that as the Sunday school goes, so goes the church. And we need to build upon our Sunday school classes. For such a time as this, we have been preparing. And we were preparing for the work that God has set before us. And I'm not talking about just inside this building of the things that have been done. Thank God for those who got the work done. But I'm talking about the work that is outside these doors, outside these walls, that are in our communities, in our county, that people need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Throughout our nation, we look about and we see the chaos that is there, that God has prepared us for the work of reaching those people. You can't turn on the news anymore without hearing about someone being killed, or a mass shooting in a school, or a mass shooting at Walmart, or wherever that may be. Police officers being killed. God has prepared us for such a time as this. We are preparing for the work. Job chapter 29 verse 15 says, I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. Are you eyes and feet? Are you taking the word to the people, to those that are lost? Are you sharing the gospel with those who never darken the doors of a church? I thank God that he sent my cousin to Germany in 1975 to come to be a witness to me, because I gave my life to Jesus in 1976 because of my cousin. He was the eyes and the feet for the Lord. God saved my soul. Saved me from drugs and alcohol. And I can't thank him enough. I praise him for bringing me out of that. We were preparing for the work, and we were also preparing to evangelize the world. For that's our job. That is our duty, is to see that the world hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and has the opportunity to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. I heard a preacher say one time that what you do is you go up and you tell someone about Jesus, and if they tell you, I don't want to hear it, you just look them right in the eye and say, thank you, and turn around and walk away. Because you've done what you can do. You see, the only thing that you can do is share the gospel. And I'm here to tell you, they're not rejecting you. If they reject the gospel, they're rejecting someone who is more important than you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God is preparing us for such a time as this, this world in chaos, for such a time as this, that we need to share that gospel more and more and more every day. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming. And we need to prepare not only our family and our churches, but we need to prepare our country and our world for his return. Give them the opportunity. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We're to do all of these things. Why? Because it's important that they hear about Jesus. It's important that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. The disciples prepared for service. And guess what, folks? Whether we want to admit it or not, if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are his disciple. And we need to be prepared for service. We need to serve him. See, the disciples spent 3 years with him, learning from him, seeing the miracles, witnessing the power of God. And folks, we have seen all of those things, have we not? We have not been with him physically, but we've been with him spiritually. Oh, we've seen the miracles that he's done. We've learned of him and we've seen those miracles. I don't know about you, but I have seen where people have come and said, "Oh, Pastor, pray for me so because I have cancer throughout my body." We had a lady in a church that we was pastoring. We called the church together. We anointed her with oil. We laid on of hands. And 2 weeks later, she came back to the church and she said, "The doctors have said, I am cancer free." That's a miracle, folks. And that's the kind of miracles that my God still works today. My Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still in that miracle-working business. And we also witness the power of God through those miracles. The greatest miracle I have ever witnessed in my life was not the healing of a man or a woman from cancer, but it was the saving of the soul. And it didn't matter who they were. God had used me to witness to a 94-year-old man, and I led him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And 3 weeks later, he went to be with Jesus. That's a miracle, folks. And miracles like that happen every day. And we are witnesses to that. We as Christians have been under attack for some time now. But for such a time as this, we have been preparing. Years ago, I heard this saying, and it stuck with me. And it said, if it suddenly became illegal to be a Christian and they arrested you, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? Only you can answer that question. As for me, they'd take me to the gallows. See, God prepares us for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And we do all of this through the study of his word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If we study the word of God, then we know what the word of God says and we can proclaim it to the world. We have prepared our hearts and our minds and our bodies for the proclaiming of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we prepare by praying. We must pray. We must be on our knees before Almighty God in praying. Praying for the lost. Praying for the evangelists. Praying for the missionaries that are out in the foreign mission fields. Praying for our government. Praying for one another. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." When we pray, we need not to doubt. When we pray, we need not to doubt. If we're going to doubt, then we don't need to pray it. Because if we don't believe that God's going to work, then what's the sense in us praying? But I'm going to tell you, when I pray, I believe God's going to work. I believe God's going to move mountains for me. I believe God is going to open up doors so wide that no man can shut them. Isaiah tells us to prepare the way of the people for such a time as this. Thirdly and lastly, for such a time as this, we are being sent. We're being sent. Look back at Esther. And I'm going to back up here a minute because I want you to pay close attention to Haman again. They'd called him in for a feast that Esther was putting on, and Esther invited him and the king, and she put on this great feast, and she had started talking with the king, and she had made the statement that the king put out this decree and what they were going to do. And so the king says, well, I can't counteract that decree by saying it doesn't matter anymore because the law won't let me do it. But here's what I can do. And he made another decree saying, Jews, you can protect yourselves. And here was Haman. He didn't like Mordecai. And so he decided, okay, the queen has already thought of me and so highly that she's invited me to come to this feast. And so he said, I don't like this Mordecai and his family. He said, well, just build the gallows and hang him. So he had the gallows made, and they called for the feast, and he went into the feast and ended up where the queen said, basically, you're the man, Haman. You're guilty, Haman. And so they took him out and hanged him on his own gallows. Now, I've said that because for such a time as this, we are being sent. Just like Esther was sent to save the Jewish people. God has sent us to save a nation. That nation is called the United States of America. And God has sent us to save a nation. We are being sent. And we are being sent as God's messengers. And if we are God's messengers, then we need to be living a godly life for Him. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 16 says, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in His Spirit hath sent me. Isaiah said, God has sent me. It wasn't man. It was God. I saw a movie in Genesis. I see it too much, but I've probably seen it a dozen times. And I'll still watch it again later when he says, basically, that this guy, his name was Robert Sheffy, and he went in to apply for a license to preach the gospel, and they denied him the license because he was peculiar. Said, well, you've even been seen praying out on the mountainside in the wilderness for hours on end. And he said, that may be so. He said, but let me ask you, to whom do you pray? They never did license him. But he went about and he began to proclaim the word of God. And he continued to do so. And he led thousands of people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's a true story, folks. Robert Sheffy was his name. Look it up. God sends us. His Spirit is upon us. And He will bless us. As God's messengers, we are to go and preach the gospel whether the world tells us we can or not. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7 says, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where have we heard that before? For such a time as this, we are called. We are prepared. And we are sent. Today, the world needs to hear the word of God. They need to be led to the saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you two questions. One, if the Lord was to come right now, would you be ready to go be with Him? Two, if He was to say to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? Would you know what to say? If you can't say yes to either one of those two questions, you need to come. I'll take the word of God and show you, or one of our deacons will take the word of God and show you how you can answer in the affirmative of those two questions. How you can answer yes and know that you know that you are saved. Revelation Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me." And I've said this before. If I come to your house and I knock on your door, hopefully you won't look out the window and say, "Uh-oh, it's that preacher, let's be quiet." Hopefully you'll open the door and invite me in. But if you don't, I'm not going to kick the door of your house down to get in. Jesus said, "I'm standing at the door knocking." You have to open that door. He's not going to kick the door of your heart down to get in. You need to open it up and say, "Come in, Lord. Come in." That's all he's asking. Simple obedience. Will you obey him today? Will you do what he has called you to do? For such a time as this, he has called, he has prepared, and now he needs to send. Will you let him send you? I'm going to ask you to stand. Ask our musicians to come, our music leader to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. And this is an opportunity for you today to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, humbly and completely.
Softly and tenderly. That's okay. I would like to say something, though, if it's okay. Before we go, you don't forget to come down front and get these two handouts that we have for you. And another thing, I forgot to announce Wednesday night, but come Wednesday night, I'm going to do something Wednesday night I've never done in all my years. I'm going to teach on a subject or a character that I have never, ever taught on. So come and watch and listen. And do a big part of it. I think you're going to be enjoying it. It's going to be a surprise to y'all. Thank you, McCord. I appreciate him doing that for me. Okay, that's all I got to say. So,
let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this wonderful day. And thank you for the opportunities that you've given to us today. As we dismiss this service, Lord, and we go our separate ways, Lord, send us out. How we may be that witness and testimony for you, God.